You're listening to Interviews with Adam. I am your host, Adam Miller, and we are joined today with Stuart Briscoe, who with his wife, Jill, have written a book called Improving with Age. And as we are talking about the subject of finishing well this week, it's a great privilege to have Stuart on the broadcast with us. Stuart, thank you so much for joining us, for writing this book in particular, but giving us a perspective on the grace of God that we have in this life to improve as we grow in our walk with Christ.
Well, the theme verse that the book Improving with Age is based on is Paul's statement, outwardly we are wasting away, but inwardly we're being renewed day by day. And the obvious theme is the focusing on the idea of inwardly we're being renewed day by day. But at the same time, we are recognizing the other factor, and that is that while spiritually we have the opportunity to be maturing and growing on and on and on, physically there is a diminishing. And so in order to live well in later life, we've got to be dealing with two issues that move in the opposite direction. Outwardly, we're wasting away. How do we cope with that? And inwardly, we're being renewed. How well are we doing with that? And so that's basically what we're interested in writing about in our book, Improving with Age.
I think in the subject of thinking about the issues of aging and maturing, oftentimes we talk about those two things almost as synonymous things, but they're really different things, because aging is a matter of deteriorating, but maturing is the aspect of the spirit. And you talk about that in your book, that oftentimes what we are most concerned with, though, when we're talking about these two factors, is our physical aging, because that has such a constant pressing on our thoughts and our concerns. But you're suggesting that the other thing is far more important to be focused on, correct?
Well, they're both important, because they are two realities. And the interesting thing to me about it is that As we think of these two processes, if we can use that term, the outward diminishing and the inward maturing, we realize that they are moving towards two conclusions. And Ecclesiastes puts it beautifully. Ecclesiastes talks about the body returning to the dust, but the spirit returning to God who gave it. And there we recognize both of those ultimates, if you like. We do know that the end of the physical life is corruption and returning to the dust from which we came. We also know that the spirit does return to God who gave it, and that when we see Christ, we will be like him. And so knowing perfectly well that both of these ultimate realities are part of what life is all about, it's realistic that we should be thinking about the two processes leading to those two ultimate realities, improving with age spiritually, and yet at the same time dealing well with the limitations that inevitably come about as we get older.
You know, what I think about when we were talking about the subject of finishing well, improving with age, you know, the mindset that I have is all of the great men of faith that I've had in my life, John DeBrein, Warren Wiersbe. I even had lunch a few weeks ago with a retired pastor who's 92 years old, and such great wisdom that they have to give to me. And in their spirit, they have such a great attitude towards what God is working in their heart and in their life, so much that I have to learn from their experience. Oftentimes, yes, young people look at old people, older people, and they kind of have pity on them. What are your thoughts about all of those things?
Well, it's nice that if young people do notice old people, because very often they are so busy with Pokemon Go that they don't notice anything. Or if they do notice anything, it's just their peers who are also peering into their iPhones and playing their video games. So that's encouraging to know that they notice the old folks, even if it's just to have pity on them. But they would be in for some surprises if they actually had the opportunity to get to know some of the old people. One of the big surprises, I think, for young people, as far as old people are concerned, is the wonderful sense of humor that most old people have. And it's a sense of humor that is very often self-deprecating. They know how to laugh at themselves. And the reason for that, of course, is that they are no longer trying to prove anything, and they are no longer competing with anybody. They're just able to live within their own situation, and they're becoming comfortable in their own skins. And so they can laugh at a lot of the pretension that goes on around them, and begin to enjoy a new area of life that young people, of course, have not had the opportunity of learning anything about at all.
I spent many years at the very beginning of my pastoral ministry as an intern of a church, and they sent me to a nursing home to practice preaching. And I think it was actually Charles Ryrie who once said that if you can't preach to little kids and you can't preach to the elderly, you shouldn't be preaching at all, because you need to be able to learn to explain very clearly the views of what you're talking about. That was a huge blessing to me, to be able to spend time with those individuals who I was able to actually see growing in their faith, growing in their understanding of the Word of God. Do you think that we often kind of, with the way that we've functioned in our society, we've put people in categories, we've put people in age groups, and we've separated them even in the church, that we've kind of missed out on a really valuable asset to the church, the body of Christ?
Yes, yeah, sure. Three very serious issues that we have in the church. I think the first one is racism, the second one is sexism, and the third one is ageism. And this is what you're talking about, Adam. The way in which people are put into categories. For a variety of reasons. Well, he's a woman, he's a man, she's a woman. You see, they are immediately in categories. Well, he is old and she is young. They're immediately put in categories. He is black, she is white. They're immediately categorized. And the church is divided on all these issues. And I think it is high time for the church to begin to recognize, particularly the contemporary church, which is so youth-oriented that they are overlooking the fact that the fastest-growing segment of the United States society now is seniors. And that if we're talking realistically about reaching our world and affecting our culture, we've got to be thinking in terms of seniors. We've got to be dealing with the people who, to a very large extent, in our churches, are being marginalized.
You talk a little bit about in the second part of this book is what we do as we start to see our physical nature deteriorating. That is such a distraction for so many people. What can one do when they are so inundated with their physical ailments, their pains, their aches, and and all the things that are happening to them physically that are demanding their attention, that often distract them from the things that they should be focusing on in the spiritual aspects of their walk with Christ.
Sure. Well, let me put it to this way, Adam. When we come to deal with aging, one thing that's very common is many people will deny it. Oh, well, that's for my parents. That's not for me. I've seen that happen over and over again with my book, Improving with Age. I remember one young woman picked it up and said, "Oh, I'll get this for my mother." So I said, "Well, what about you?" She said, "What do you mean, what about me?" I said, "Well, it's about improving with age." Well, she said, "That's not for me." I said, "Well, what? Are you not aging?" And she said, "Well, I don't think so. I don't think of myself as aging." I said, "Well, are you 24 hours older than you were this time yesterday?" And she said, "Well, of course I am." I said, "Lady, you're aging. So are you not interested in aging? Are you not interested in improving?" She said, "Oh, I'll take your book then." So that's one thing that we find with aging, and that is denying it. There are some people who are defying it. They are fighting this thing. They are resisting this thing. They're doing all kinds of things to try to make it roll back, to turn the clock back again. So you've got those who are denying it. You've got those who are defying it. We've got nobody who is defeating it. It is something that happens, and it is going to go on happening. So, realistically speaking, we've got to be saying, okay, this is what happens. And you can take them to Ecclesiastes chapter 12, where there is the most incredible description of aging. And it's actually it's very humorous, which is strange, seeing it's in Ecclesiastes, but read it sometime. And in it, you have a very fascinating description of what has been called the diminishing of old age. I went to see my brother recently, just a few days before he passed away with lung cancer. And this is what he said to me. He said, "Well, sir, I'm glad you've come to see me. I can't see you properly, and I can't hear you properly. My sense of taste has gone, and so I'm not enjoying any food very much. My memory is playing tricks on me, and certain body activities are no longer possible. So, welcome." That's his style. That was his style of humor. Actually, he died just 3 days after saying that. But that's the reality of physically aging. Okay. Now then, is there any help for people going through these various stages? And the answer is yes. Even at his stage, he was experiencing what we call palliative care. He was in home hospice situation. And so even at the end of a 3-year struggle with cancer, his humor was still there. He looked at the door out of his room and he said, "Stuart, just do over that door. Can you see the word exit?" And I said, "No." He said, "It's not there." He said, "This is not an exit. It says entry and welcome." He said, "That's where I'm heading. I am going to enter into the fullness of life, and God in Christ has welcomed me." Okay, so here's somebody who can laugh at his diminishing physical abilities. He is looking dying right in the face, and he is saying, "This is not an exit. This is an entry into fullness of life." This is what we have to help people to do. And when we do this, funnily enough, even though outwardly they're wasting away, we will find that they are improving with age.
I'm going to talk a little bit about what you mentioned there and denying our aging, because I'm a young guy. I'm only 32. In many ways, John at least would call me a young guy. I'm starting to feel the aspects of aging, but I don't think about it. I refuse to accept that I'm actually aging. What is the biggest pitfall of not accepting our physical demise, not thinking about that? Do you think that we have a tendency to be tied to this world as young people, to think that our best life is now and not to think eternally?
Yes, and of course we can only live as we're experiencing life, and so I don't criticize people for not having the wisdom of age. I don't criticize them for feeling very little concern for people older than themselves. They don't know; they haven't experienced any of these things, and so I think what we've got to do in the church, we've got to build bridges between the generations. Because if ageism is a problem in the church, generationalism is a huge problem in the church. And we need to be intentionally building ways in which the different age groups can begin to know each other and experience each other.
Now, you know John DeBrine, who is 91 years old, the founder here at Songtime, and it's been running now for 52 years, and he's seen many of his friends go to glory. And when you talk to him and when you ask him, or tell him that another one of his friends has passed away, he always quotes to me Psalm 116, 15, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of one of his saints," and he says, "Good for them." And he looks forward to that day where he will see glory as well. Do you think that that is one of the best advantages we have in seeing that improvement with age, is that a real concept of what glory will be like really captures our heart and our imagination?
Yes, I think so. To think in terms of the fact that God is working relentlessly towards the creating of new heavens and new earth, in which the redeemed will be like Christ, and everything will be set to rights. Or, as Peter puts it, the whole new heaven and new earth will be characterized by righteousness. Yes, that's what the older people are thinking. But it's in the light of that that they are seeking to live well now, or to use the term you're using, they're seeking to finish well now. And that brings us up to another huge issue in the church, the issue of retirement and what we make of that and how we handle that, or how we mishandle retirement. And this, of course, is another issue that we take up in this whole concept of improving with age.
What is the issue with retirement? And I think I can never imagine myself retired, but then again, it's so far down the road. I don't know if I can imagine it. But what are the kind of hang-ups that we have in our mindset? Is it an American mindset? Is it a third world or first world country mindset that we have about retirement that is hindering us?
Well, I think there are many people who are so dissatisfied with their working lives that they can't wait to retire. And you can see that attitude developing very quickly because of the common theme of "thank God it's Friday." They can't wait to get away from their workaday world. And so when people think basically of work as drudgery, as something that they have to tolerate, it is an evil imposed upon them, then you will find that they can't wait for the weekend, and then ultimately they can't wait for retirement. And to them, retirement is all about not having to work anymore. Well, as has been pointed out by many people, the Bible doesn't mention retirement. So we can't say whether Christians should retire or Christians should not retire from the scriptures. But what we can say from the scriptures is Christians, well, not just Christians, human beings are created to be productive. And so when we think in terms of coming to the end of employment, we do not have the freedom to think we've come to the end of the necessity to be productive. We are called to be productive, and we are called to be productive at all stages of our lives. And, of course, the Psalms do talk about old age being the time of productivity, of fruitfulness, of freshness, of greenness and fruitfulness, and all kinds of very, very positive things. And we are seeking to encourage people to embrace the privilege of retirement, but recognizing that it will give opportunity for leisure, but it is to be productive leisure. It gives the opportunity for exploration of things that they never had time to explore before. It gives the opportunity for people to begin to serve without looking to remuneration or having to meet a quota or having to satisfy shareholders or keep a difficult boss off your backs. Now you have the privilege of doing something because you want to do it and you're doing it as unto the Lord. And so I have a talk that I give on aging. I say that aging is an undeniable reality. Everybody recognizes that it is an undeniable reality, even though they're trying to deny it, delay it, defy it, but cannot defeat it, right? That aging is an undeniable reality. But Socrates said the unexamined life is not worth living. Well, if aging is a part of living, and we haven't examined aging, we've got an unexamined life. And so the second thing is that aging is an unexamined phenomenon. It's an undeniable reality. It's an unexamined phenomenon. But thirdly, it is an unbelievable opportunity. It's an unbelievable opportunity to explore whole new vistas of living. And we encourage people to embrace it and enjoy it in its fullness.
I want to take a little bit of time now to learn a little bit more about you, because you write in the foreword of this book, the introduction of this book, that you're in your 80s, but you feel like you're still young at heart. Tell us a little bit about you and where you're at, and what led you to write this book as you're starting to realize a lot of these things in your own development and your own spiritual walk.
Well, Jill and I are both in our 80s. Jill's 81, I'm 85. We are blessed with incredibly good health, and that is an important factor. Not only are we blessed with incredibly good health, there's still a demand for our ministry. We're still asked repeatedly to go and minister to people. In fact, for the last hour before we started talking to each other, I was just organizing a tour of ministry that will take me from Austria to Germany, to England, to Romania, to Moldova, to Ukraine, and back to England. Now, that's at 85 years of age. I recently was invited to go to Greece in the spring of 2018 to minister to medical missionaries. I wrote back to them and I said, well, I hope there'll be gerontologists in the community of physicians there. I said, asking me to commit to the spring of 2018 is presumptuous in the extreme. In fact, I think committing to do something next Wednesday at 85 is presumptuous. But we keep on keeping on. So there's a demand for our services. We are affirmed and encouraged and supported by innumerable people. We still have our wits about us. We've got good health. We have means that enable us to engage in activities that are productive. We have thoroughly supportive children and their spouses. We have 13 grandchildren, most of whom are in their 20s, who think the old folks are kind of cool. And so we are enriched people. We are blessed people. And that being the case, out of our blessing, we want to continue to be a blessing wherever possible. That's how we look at life at this stage.
And it should be noted as well that you and your wife have been married for 60 years, and Jill is also a co-author of this book and has some great insights as well as to this aspect of improving with age. We just recently talked with John Gager about the book, If I Could Do It All Over Again, and I know that you were one of the people that he interviewed in the process of putting that book together. In that kind of subject, in that regard, now that you are writing and talking about the subject about improving with age, do you have, when you look back over your life, do you have haunting regrets, or do you see the grace of God throughout all of those circumstances?
Well, we see many situations where we would say, "There, but for the grace of God, go I." That's certainly the case. Secondly, we would have to say with great joy and genuine belief that it is because of the grace of God that anything of value has been accomplished through our lives. Do we have any pressing regrets? Yes, of course. We've had regrets. Somebody said something to me just a couple of days ago. It was a very little thing that I did. No, actually, it wasn't me. It was my brother did. And this person said, I only met your brother once. It was when I was a young pastor, and I went into a room full of pastors who were older than me. And he said, I was feeling very awkward there. And your brother got up from where he was sitting, walked across the room, came to me, took hold of my hand, and said, I don't know you. I think you're new. Tell me your story. And he said, that act of kindness was something that I have never, ever forgotten. And I'm just sorry I never had the chance to thank him personally. I tell you that story because when I think, and I said this to the young man telling me the story, I said, when I think of how important things can be to people, that when you do them, you think nothing about them, then that is frightening, because you say to yourself, how many times did we miss? How many times did we come short? How many times did we reflect negatively on the Lord? And you say, Lord, be merciful to me. And so, do I have any regrets? Yes, of course, I do. And do I have reason to be thankful and humble and dependent upon the Lord? Of course I do. And I'll let you into a little secret. So do we all.
We've been talking with Stuart Briscoe about his book, Improving with Age, God's Plan for Getting Older and Better. Stuart, it was such a great privilege to talk with you. Thank you for your ministry, which has spanned so many decades, but has had such a great impact and been connected with Songtime in so many different ways throughout the years. So thank you again for your faithfulness in finishing well.
Well, thank you, Adam. And I must say that I never thought I'd live long enough to have a conversation with Adam. So this has been a joy.
All right. Well, thank you again, and God bless you very much.
Okay, bye-bye.
We hope you enjoyed this interview made possible by our ministry at Songtime Radio. You can find out more information about our ministry by visiting our website at songtime.com, where you can find this and other interviews on our podcast series, as well as our weekday broadcast, which includes teaching, interviews, and music. We also want to encourage you to sign up for our free monthly newsletter. It's got encouraging articles, and there is no obligation. To find out more information about our ministry, again, visit our website at songtime.com. This ministry is made possible by people just like yourself. We are 100% supported by our listeners. So if you have been blessed today, why not join with the many voices together for that one message, the gospel of Jesus Christ, with your donation to the Songtime Ministry. To make a donation, you can do so online at our website at songtime.com, as well as by mail. Write to us at Songtime Radio, P.O. Box 100, Barnstable, Massachusetts, 02630, or give us a call. Make a donation over the phone. It's 508-362-7070. On behalf of our entire Songtime staff and our own Dr. John DeBrine, the founder here at Songtime, who encourages you to grow in grace and not groan in disgrace, from Cape Cod, I'm Adam Miller. God bless.